listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Well, today on CMDA Matters, this is our third annual year-end review. It's hard to believe that we are on the cusp of 2025, a quarter of the way through the 21st century. And with me in the studio today is our Vice President of Stewardship, George Courtney. And George and I have been together the last couple of years doing some reflections, haven't we, George?
Yes, we have. It's been great to do those, and it's great to be with you again today.
But today, this weekend, because we have a special training happening here at CMDA headquarters in Bristol, Tennessee, we have our president, the president of CMDA, his second time through, Dr. George Gonzalez from Fresno, California. Welcome to the studio and welcome to GHO Team Leader Training.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks, George. And George, this is the one time of the year where we get to flip the script. And George Gonzalez and I are going to be your guests and answering some questions in reflection.
Well, Mike, that's great. I look forward to this every year because it's a time just to hear from you, from the CEO's heart, on where CMDA has been for the year, where we're headed, the vision that God has given you. And it'll be a great time for us to share.
With a great deal of help from our board. And of course, George is chairing and the efforts of that and driving that bus. So this will be great to have that additional perspective this year.
Well, as we jump into this today, my thoughts went to Jeremiah and to his conversation in Lamentations, where he's speaking to the children of Israel as they're reflecting back on the Lord's faithfulness in spite of Jerusalem's destruction. And he tells us this in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy begins afresh each morning." Mm-hmm. What a powerful verse, a passage for us to take with us as we think about 2024, think about going ahead to 25, but also we're finishing 93 years of ministry together at CMDA and reflecting at God's faithfulness over these many years. And so it's a great way for us to start out this conversation. In recent years, we've been using the acrostic CASE to help us get our arms around the vastness of CMDA. There's so many ministries today. How many ministries are there today?
Oh, it depends on how you define ministry. But we say there's, depending upon the definition, somewhere between 40 and 50 ministries.
Right. And Dr. Gonzalez, I'm sure you enjoy being a part of many of those ministries. I see you not only as a leader and president of CMDA, but I see you here for Global Health Outreach. And I know you're involved in other areas. What are some of your favorite ministries that pop up there?
I love to think that CMDA is mission-minded, and so GHO and MEI are two ministries that are dear to my heart. Keeps us focused on sharing the truth of the scriptures and the hope that we have in Christ.
And your wife, Angelica, might speak up for Side by Side, since although she's not ever been president or chair of that ministry, she's been avidly involved in getting spouses involved, hasn't she?
Yes. She's a great advocate for CMDA.
We love Angelica. She is an incredible individual. You're very blessed there. Well, as we think about the acrostic CASE, for those who are listening who have maybe not heard us use that before, it simply stands for community, advocacy, service, and equipping. And Mike, today I thought as we go through this time together, we would just use that to help guide us, give us a roadmap. And so first, let's start off with community. Whenever I say community at CMDA, what comes to your mind from 2024 and the areas of ministry that CMDA is engaged in the area of community?
This is the area of ministry that is really the oldest. This was the core ministry that launched CMDA about 93 years ago in Chicago, and I had the opportunity actually to travel to Chicago on our annual Thrive campaign this fall, and was meeting with Chicago medical students, even a couple from the very first medical school that had a Bible study in 1931, Northwestern University. Now, we get all these reports, and we think that life is pretty difficult, that there's a lot of adversity for Christian students these days, and it is. But the students I met with were full of hope. They rejoiced that their classmates were not antagonistic and not hypercritical of the fact that they were Christian students and that they met for a small Bible study, but actually just wondering what made these Christian students tick. And so they had many opportunities to talk about their faith while meeting as a group. Now, they're not huge. The numbers of evangelical Christian students out there in some of these large medical schools, many of them are very few in number. But when you're in the minority, I hear it said, that body life is even more important than ever. And so these students were just so delighted that they had each other and several other students to meet on a regular basis to help them maintain a vibrant faith. So when I hear community, I think of 1 Corinthians 12, that we're all members of the body of Christ. We're all gifted differently. And in that body, those who have gifts of mercy, those who have gifts of encouragement or exhortation, like God, I think, has given to me, gifts of teaching and gifts of service, all of those working together to make for a great body of Christ. And I know that George in Fresno, you've had a very similar experience over decades. Just tell us about Fresno and how that's worked to be strengthened because of that community ministry.
Angelica and I have been privileged to lead this team of started with only three or four couples first that would get together and pray and then go through what it was to be strong in your faith and a physician and dentist and how we could maintain our faith while dealing with the stressors and the issues that follow medical and dental practices. And that grew from there. We've always invited spouses to all our meetings. And we meet once a month, and every other month we have families come for fellowship and to get to know other Christian believers who are in the healthcare field. But what has made our chapter the strongest has really been doing service projects together, especially mission-minded service projects, where we do once a year an international trip with GHO and then outreaches similar to the GHO model to areas of poverty within an hour of Fresno. And we've done over 60 of those, and that has brought a lot of cohesiveness and that sense of community amongst the Christian healthcare members of our chapter.
And I was there this summer and got to see that in action. That was a privilege for me.
That was a fun event for me as well. Probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was traveling out there, and we had the privilege of attending one of your larger events. And just meeting these individuals and how grateful they were for coming together for encouragement and fellowship. Sure, they passed each other in the hospital or in the clinic or wherever, but they really grew from that time of being together and being able to sort of take a breath together and listen to God speak into their life. So it's wonderful to hear.
And George Courtney, there's so much movement. George Gonzalez knows this. There's so much movement in healthcare through training, residency, fellowship, and practices. And what I saw in Fresno was that new people who come to town, any kind of healthcare professional, new, maybe hasn't found a church yet, but finds this group interfaces with either George or Angelica, and then is introduced to church, local churches, and ministry. And it's just, it's like a welcome wagon, if you will, for Christian healthcare professionals.
Yes, and we've been talking about community chapters, mostly graduate healthcare professionals getting together for these types of events, but also the student chapters take part and are underneath this umbrella, and it's magical what happens. As you mentioned, you experienced there at the Thrive event in Chicago. Each month, we receive some statistics from Bill Reichert and his team in campus and community ministries.
Yes.
Bill serves as the vice president. Many of you've met him before, and he's been on this podcast and a part of hosting those kinds of events as well. But there are 365 student chapters now. Isn't that remarkable?
It is incredible.
We think about 51 local ministry groups like we were talking about in Fresno or possibly in Chicago. And
with some new ones added this year, and I think on the list is La Crosse, Wisconsin, New Orleans, Louisiana, Tyler, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Boston, Massachusetts, and I happen to know right now in Columbia, South Carolina, they're putting together a chapter with leadership and staff and so forth. And so at different points in development and at the heart, George, of our strategic plan that the board helped us develop is to grow each of our regions in the Northeast, the South, Midwest, and the West to grow by 20% new chapters in each of those regions each year over the next 3 years.
there'll be remarkable growth. So the message to our listeners today is if you're not in a group, think about, is God calling you to help start a group?
Find two or three other Christian healthcare leaders and be a nucleus, be a core of starting a new movement in your town.
Let's move on. Talk about advocacy. And there's certainly been a lot of activity and advocacy in 2024. So what comes to your mind as some of the highlights this year?
Well, clearly our advocacy efforts have focused over the last two or three years on statewide efforts. And our Vice President of Advocacy, Dr. Jeff Barrows, and his team have, you know, you just, when you have a team, it has, with resources and people, you have to really focus. And so they have focused on four vulnerable groups. And the four groups that Jeff Barrows talks about are the vulnerable at the beginning of life, so the unborn, vulnerable at the end of life, so those who are frail and those who are terminally ill, disabled, and the whole push by this group called Compassion and Choices to promote assisted suicide and euthanasia. So the vulnerable at the end of life, beginning of life. The newest group of vulnerability has been children and adolescents who are gender confused. And the promotion, ideological promotion of them having these so-called gender affirmation treatments. And so we've been focused on a state-by-state basis. Nearly 26 states just in the last couple of years have passed laws that have restricted those kind of things. And as we know, just recently there was a Supreme Court case, and I might talk about that a little bit later. But and then the final group, so those who are vulnerable, kids and adolescents with gender confusion. But then the final group is our fellow healthcare professionals, Christian healthcare professionals who are being asked to participate in procedures and treatments that they in their heart feel I cannot participate in, but I'm being pushed and coerced to actually participate. And so those are the areas of our focus. And we have done so mainly at the state level because so many doors, at least in the last couple of years, have been closed tightly at the federal level. We're hoping in 2025 that there's a turnaround there.
A couple of things that I was reading about advocacy out of our annual report this year from 2024 was that they had 520 listeners to their Voice of Advocacy podcast. Mm-hmm. So if our listeners have not tapped into that, I think that's a wonderful resource that they ought to be tapping into. It's a great podcast focused just at the advocacy ministry, and more of what you touched on is covered in more detail there. But they also had 84 federal or state laws that they had an opportunity to influence. And that influence, how do we influence in this area of advocacy?
So certainly at a federal level, there are some doors that we can go through. There's a Senate and there's a House Values Action Team where Nicole Hayes, who's our state public policy director who hangs out, if you will, in Washington, D.C., she's able to have an influence there, granted, again, limited. But on the state level, we have a network called the American Academy of Medical Ethics. And in most of the states, I think all but three or four at this current time, we have an AAME state director. Those directors are generally physicians, but they might be other healthcare professionals. But we have actually invested in software that Nicole Hayes and Jeff can monitor on those four areas, whether it's fighting abortion or fighting gender affirmation care, fighting euthanasia, assisted suicide, and then notifying in whatever state it is, notifying the AME state director that there's a new bill that's come before your state legislature and we are asking you to mobilize. And so the network there, members in a particular state, for the elections this November, there were 10 abortion amendments being put forward for state constitution changes. And we rallied the troops in those 10 states, gave them all kinds of information. And we wish there had been more successes. But at least in three of the states, those abortion-promoting amendments did not pass. They were defeated.
Well, you covered there briefly about Nicole Hayes and the work she does both at the state level, and this year she's been stretched to help cover some of the opportunities federally. Mm-hmm. What's one of our biggest opportunities with advocacy coming up in the new year?
We've been discussing, Jeff and I have since the election, that there are going to be some opportunities for promoting a number of things that we've wished for a long time, including a federal Conscience Protection Act. a federal level legislation that would protect doctors across the country from being forced to do things that they, again, in their heart of hearts and their conscience will not allow them to do. And so their jobs are on the line. So we hope that's going to be able to happen. But to do that, George, we're going to need personnel. I mean, we're going to need a representative. Mm-hmm. And so we're praying and trusting God to provide us with resources in the new year. We don't have those resources right now, but we're in the middle of December and asking God to provide us for resources. You and your team are working hard to reach that $1 million goal. And we really would love in January to have the resources to actually hire either a half-time or full-time federal public policy director to represent us.
I could see how that would really lift and support the work, the vision that Dr. Barrows and yourself have for that new year and what that would mean for our members, but also what that would mean for all of our communities. And so I am very excited to see and to watch God provide. We have been amazed at how God has provided the last couple of years. God always comes through. He's always faithful. I think the saying is he's rarely early, but always on time and just the right time. And he's been that way for CMDA.
I also want to just state that depending upon the results of this Supreme Court case that just this week has taken place, the week that we're meeting, having this discussion, the Scrimeti case from Tennessee, depending upon how that comes out, and it appears that maybe the state of Tennessee will be validated in its ability to make laws to protect children and adolescents from puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery, there will probably be more states even willing to pass these kinds of laws. Legislators that say our own Supreme Court has supported the state of Tennessee. And so it will be just more important than ever for our members in the various states to be alert to these and to encouraging their own representatives at a state level to consider such laws to protect kids.
Well, Mike, we're having a great discussion around advocacy.
We need to move on.
But it's time to move on. We have a lot to cover today. And so I hate to be pushing us there, but let's move forward to the service. Now, as I mentioned service, we just covered advocacy, which we could talk on two or three podcasts for. But the area of service, we could probably spend most of a year on service because it's an area that is so broad. And having been around the ministry in and out for about 30 years, there's very few conversations that I have had with a member or a supporter that didn't either start with talking about an area of serving in their communities or in the world or end on that. And I know this is an area that Dr. Gonzalez is very involved in as well. And so as we jump into the area of service, Dr. Gonzalez, why don't you share a little bit about how you got started in serving with CMDA and Global Health Outreach, MEI, that you've mentioned, and maybe a special story or opportunity that comes to your mind?
Well, CMDA really should be a grassroots organization where we're not just encouraging people from the top down, but to see people involved in the local community, encouraging other healthcare professionals to be involved in issues that are important to Christ and to be Christ's hands and feet. And so one of the things that we realized when we were making these international trips abroad is that people say, well, what about the poor here in America? And as a local chapter, we were able to mobilize people who couldn't take a week off, but they could take a weekend or a single Saturday to come and join with us to serve communities that had tremendous medical and dental needs. And we also would set up physical therapy and optometry and do the same sort of thing that we would do abroad. But it's always been a privilege to lead these GHO international teams. And last year, we led one to Nicaragua with 11 medical students. That is a blessing because we're trying to give those who go on the trip a vision for ministry in Christ to the less fortunate. To start with medical students is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And then this year, we have 18 signed up for our trip in March. So 18 medical students.
Oh, wow.
And so we are excited, and we have seen fruit from this last year where these medical students have come back and rallied and been leaders in their student chapters in their medical schools. So it's instant gratification and encouragement.
I was reading again in our annual report. I was amazed this year in the area of service with our mission teams out there, MEI, GHO, that they saw a little over 35,000 patients that they cared for. And that not only do we want to care for that physical need, but we also want to do spiritual ministry. And throughout the year, there was a little over 3,600 that had come to a profession in faith as a result of the teamwork that was going on. That's a remarkable accomplishment. Well, we jumped right into GHO, but there are really five sort of prongs to this area of service. Mike, why don't you touch on those just a little bit to help our listeners know what's available in service?
The other arms, the other outreaches would be Medical Education International, a team sending agency. And let me just say parenthetically, Pastor Burt Jones, who's Vice President of Missions and has brought together both MEI and GHO this weekend for training, we actually participated in a survey with an organization called Missio Nexus. Missio Nexus, which is, as it sounds, brings together mission sending agencies from all over the world as an association of sending agencies. And they did a survey asking about numbers of teams and the number of participants from dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of organizations. Mm-hmm. And they gave Burt a call. Ted Esler, who's the executive director, said, "You guys, how do you do it? You send far more teams than any other organization who participated in the survey. We want you to write an article for our magazine. Mm-hmm. How is it that CMDA gets so many people to participate?" I think it speaks to the organization and the quality and the experience, the engagement in missions that happens both in GHO and Medical Education International. I'll just point out, it's been an exciting month in November for teams going to Cuba. We've had teams going to Cuba now for a number of decades. The report that came from the group that just experienced Cuba said, "We visited university provincial hospitals and the three national referral pediatric hospitals in Havana. Our lectures attracted several hundred physicians, nurses, students, and professionals who work with children with disabilities. Our MEI nurses and volunteers rounded while faculty lectured and prayed for about 300 children and their families in five pediatric hospitals we visited. All of our attendees received New Testaments. Many took two or more at the end of the program. Christian revival is occurring, and many people are attending and joining a church. To God be the glory."
Amen.
I love that from the program director. We also have CAM, which stands for the Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. Dr. Doug Lindberg is the director there. And the mission of CAM is to put opportunities for a life of service in front of students, especially undergrad, medical students, dental students, and beyond, to consider what my wife Pam and I chose for 20 years, which is a career in service cross-culturally. Mm-hmm. And so conferences, our remedy conferences are a part of that. We have a newsletter. We also point people to the annual Louisville conference. All of this to put a possibility of this incredible, rewarding career of being a missionary on their radar.
Well, Mike, it begs me to ask the question, why do we think that it's so important for a healthcare professional to at least try getting involved in the area of service and jumping out there? Maybe we've got some listeners that haven't. They've been their busy training years and family years, and they've not put themselves out there. Why would CMDA encourage them to do that?
Well, we have a book that we published called Following the Great Physician.
Yes.
He certainly set the example. And George and I have participated in a profession that very closely aligns with the activities of the great physician. And for us to leave out service, for it to only be just a job and to be income generating to take care of ourselves, it falls incredibly short, does it not, Dr. Gonzalez, in terms of what our Lord Jesus? I want to hear from Dr. Gonzalez on this particular question.
No, I agree. We're to be Christ followers and an example and be an extension of Him, His hands and feet to those in need. It offers hope, too. I mean, that's our motto is hope and healing to the world. And that's a incredible vision statement that we have, but it's how do you do that? Well, it's really getting out there hands-on and representing Christ wherever you can.
I have heard from our members whenever I've sat down and had a cup of coffee with them. We were talking about maybe stewardship issues to start with or concerns. But as we've ventured into this area of service, I've had several of them tell me I was apprehensive to go out of my comfort zone because I was in control in my clinic or in my hospital. But as soon as I jumped out and did the first one, God just changed my heart and showed me that there was a place for me to learn and grow and serve. And I think that's important for us to say to listeners that if you've not done an area of service, if you've not taken that step, please do it.
George, if I had a $5 bill for every time I heard this statement made by someone coming to serve short term at my hospital in Kenya, I received so much more, Mike, for my time working here at Timok Hospital than I feel that I gave, that I could fund our new federal public policy director position if I had a $5 bill for every time, because I heard that every year hundreds of times.
Well, it's time to move on. We've been saying
we're at the end of the acrostic.
So let's move on and talk for just a little bit about the area of equipping. This is an area that CMDA is pretty vast in as well. We have a lot of equipping ministries, and it's also an area where we get to invest into our listeners, to healthcare professionals, to members, supporters. So, Mike, lead us down a little conversation about the highlights for you in the area of equipping.
Well, first, I want our listeners to understand that CMDA has a very unique privilege and responsibility because we're one of the only remaining organizations that actually has recognition to provide Category 1 CME credit from the ACCME. We're in the middle of a renewal process. Mm-hmm. The last two cycles, we've been given six-year renewals because of the incredible program we have. So many other organizations that don't have that ability come to us and our CE committee for actual review of their conventions, conferences, or weekend programs to get Category 1 credit for physicians and other healthcare professionals. So that, I would say, that's our crown jewel that we have and have had it for 30 years. But at, I would say that our premier equipping event is our national convention.
Yes.
And George and I were talking about this earlier today about how much excitement and momentum we have seen as we begin to move the conference around the country just a little bit. We were back in North Carolina this year. It was a wonderful conference. Before that, we were in Cincinnati and Indianapolis before that. But George, you were there. You felt the excitement. Talk about this premier event for Christian healthcare professionals that happens in the spring.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to get a vision of what CMDA does and how they can be part of something bigger than themselves. They get to meet people who have been doing medical missions for decades. They get to actually talk over issues that you're not going to have an opportunity to do so at any other place, and to hear just great speakers that are biblically sound and living out their faith. So it's such a wonderful experience. What has been exciting has been, I think, the newcomers, the newbies that are not just the people who have been coming year after year, but a lot of new people have been joining the national convention, and especially students.
Yes.
We've had a tremendous new, maybe double of what we used to have, of students attending the national conference.
Bringing a lot of energy to the conference.
And bringing a lot of energy, that youth energy that we'd like to bottle.
Well, you mentioned students, and I have to say this. I had the privilege of, on Sunday morning as the national convention was ending, to drive a van load of students out to the airport. And so I just said, tell me the highlights. There was a lot of cheering and whatever going on in the background, chatting and all that. And out of the back came this voice of a young lady who said, this was my first time to come to a national convention, and I never knew that a medical lecture could also have Jesus's name in it. And she was just so blessed that that had come together and that she had found a place where her faith could be reaffirmed within the aspects of healthcare and medicine. And I was, that story, it just stuck with me since that day. But there were 979 people. These are not small events for our listeners.
And just for our listeners, our next convention is in St. Charles, Missouri. May 1st through the 4th, and our goal this year is over 200 students.
Here we are at the end of December, and I believe in early January.
Second week of January, there's going to be a new level. The cost of registration goes up
a little bit.
Yeah, it does. So speakers like Ambassador Brownback, who was Ambassador for Religious Freedom for the World, as well as Aaron Hawley, ADF lawyer, who went with us to the Supreme Court on one of our cases, Ryan Bomberger, Eric McLaughlin, who's a family physician, author, musician from Burundi. A great lineup, and a longtime favorite Bible teacher, the Reverend Pastor Stan Key, is going to be there this year.
It's going to be a great event for sure. And if our listeners are trying to find it, they could just go to
cmda.org/events.
And register before the second week of January.
Please do.
That would be great. Well, we've had a wonderful conversation today, walking our way through CASE. And what a blessing it is to reflect back and to also look forward to what God has in store for us.
And George, I think we have a strong case, honestly, for bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world in this organization that's approaching 100 years old. And we're also a part of an international body. I have invited the Assistant Executive Officer for ICMDA, our partner organization, 107 nations total. I just was in Jakarta, Indonesia, with 80 other leaders from around the world, and they extend their gratitude and appreciation for CMDA US because over half of the funding to make ICMDA work comes from the United States. So I've invited one of their very, very sanguine, very passionate leaders from Indonesia, from the island of Java, to come to our national convention and share with us what's happening in all of Oceania there at the national convention this next spring.
It's going to be a great time, that's for sure. Well, as we sit here and we reflect back and think forward, I come to this passage in Jeremiah 29 very often in my mind's eye. You know, I just see it and I think about it. And here Jeremiah is once again speaking to the people that have been taken captive into Babylon. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope." And as I think about CMDA, we have these wonderful memories that are a part of our history that we all need to hold on to, but we also need to be thinking forward to what God has in store for us. There are so many opportunities, even in the face of the challenges that are out there today. Mike, as you think about the future, 2025 for CMDA, what are some of the highlights that come to your mind that you anticipate and looking forward to?
Really good question. A couple of things immediately come to my mind. We are ramping up a training that started here in the United States back in the 1990s called the Saline Solution. It's gone around the globe. It's been in 150 nations. And in fact, a recent program here this month was my interview with Bill Griffin and Gabor Giori, as well as Mark Topazian about that program. So I'm looking forward. That training, we're bringing it back. It's a 10-hour program, an intensive on-site practicum on how to incorporate your faith into your practice, both for patients as well as for your peers. And lots of good practice there in these trainings that are going to happen before the National Convention and next year. So that's one. Second, we are graduating our first group of fellows from our new mentoring academy. The pilot inaugural group started at National Convention last year. We're going to recognize the grads this year and take in a whole new group. So I'm very excited about the growth, which I want to believe is going to be explosive because you can't talk to a Christian healthcare professional that's involved with CMDA who at some point in time doesn't bring up the idea of mentoring, how important mentoring was to them, how important it was to me. And training people who may not feel comfortable or that they're ready or equipped to mentor, to actually prepare them as fellows and those fellows to train more fellows. And so we want this to be mentoring with discipleship because there are a lot of mentoring programs, a lot of secular – every medical school has a mentoring program, but they're not integrated with discipleship. And so that's where our mentoring academy is unique. And so I get – anytime I'm out there talking with – whether it's our board members or House of Representatives, others, they want to hear more about mentoring. How do I do it? How do I approach mentoring of younger Christians who are coming through the pipeline? So the Mentoring Academy, Saline Process Training are a couple of things I'm very excited about. The other thing I'm excited about is a series that Dr. Barrow started in 2023 and 24 called Standing Strong series. And we've incorporated our Bridging the Gap curriculum that came out about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've changed the name to be Standing Strong with the Church and changed its look and its feel, made the modules a little bit shorter. We also have Standing Strong in Training for our students and for campus advisors and those faculty who are out there in medical schools to work with students. And coming soon in 2025 is Standing Strong in Practice. So a three-part series, Standing Strong. And with our national convention theme being Spoke in the Wheel, some of our listeners probably have seen, like me, just recently, the new movie that's out on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his famous quote, "We shouldn't just speak out against the wheels of injustice. We need to get out sticks or spokes and stick them in the wheels and stop those wheels of injustice." And so standing strong, even when it's difficult in these days in this post-Christian culture, I'm excited about providing those resources for Christians in healthcare.
Sounds like a very exciting year ahead for us. And that begs me to ask Dr. Gonzalez the question, how do you see this coming year? You get to work with this incredible group of leaders that we call our Board of Trustees, mm-hmm. and they're very gifted, they're very engaged, they're generous, both in their time and their resources. Amen. And what excites you as we look into 2025?
Well, it's good that you mentioned the Board of Trustees, because that's exactly what I was going to say, is that we have a great group that serve on the board that are visionary and keep us on track. And we are there to encourage Mike to continue on doing what he's doing in such a great way that he's performed over the last 5 years now. So we are just excited to see what God has for CMDA in the future. There's a strategic planning committee that has developed a new strategic plan for the next 3 years, and it's moving in line with CASE here, and we have people in line who are going to be in leadership that are coming up. So it's exciting. Things are moving ahead, and God is with us.
And George is going to be handing over in the spring to a new president, our first ever, I believe, African-American president, Dr. Omari Hodge from Tampa, family physician. So that changed the guard, although you're not going too far, are you, George?
No, one more year of immediate past president after that.
Well, this has been a heartwarming conversation for me to just sit here with two individuals that I really respect and appreciate. And also, I can't help but hear we're at the end of December and working in the area of generosity. I can't help but say thank you to the hundreds of our faithful champions, supporters of the ministry. All that we've been talking about gets funded through generosity and through mm-hmm. dues and coming to conventions and engaging in different activities of the ministry. And we're just so blessed, but also to say, please be praying about what God wants you to do in the future, the plans that we believe God has put on our heart, the board and Mike's heart to lead us towards. It takes funding to do that, and we don't need to be shy. God has very deep pockets, and we just trust Him year after year for His faithfulness. So thank you. If you're listening today and you've been giving and praying about what to give, we want you to know that we're just grateful and appreciative.
Amen. 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 Thanks, George. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. George Gonzalez, for joining us today on CMDA Matters, wrapping up this year. And thank you, George, for allowing me to flip the script and be answering the questions this time and instead of asking them. I want to finish off the year by sharing my favorite prayer. Those of you who listen regularly hear me pray this prayer on your behalf from time to time, but I want to finish out 2024 with this prayer. Some would say, some Bible scholars would say that the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica was one of Paul's favorite churches. It was beloved to Paul. And so he writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and I'm going to customize it for our listeners. So we at CMDA keep on praying, asking our God to enable you, Christian healthcare professionals, to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do in this coming year, 2025. And then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live and practice and along the way, you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible, friends, because of the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name, I pray and finish out this 2024 CMDA year. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.